This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Mozle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome back to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host. Back on the show this week for our annual WWDC recap is Alcir from Mozle. Alcir, welcome to Apple at Work.
Hey, Bradley. It's good to be here again. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time. I know this is like crunch time for those on the vendor side of the Apple IT infrastructure. I mean, it's got to be tough. I'm thinking through, like, you all generally are finding out a lot of things the same time we are, then have to go build for it, try to get beta support, and then be ready for the launch this fall. So, I mean, does your team just have to go, you know, 0.30 and shut off the world to get these features built?
Yes. So we actually organize the roadmap for the entire year around this period. So we plan everything else we do in a way where we can put all the effort just at the day of WWDC. It's when we started, and we want a full, like, the entire team working on that. And yes, everyone is expecting some sort of hands-on access to those features, and it became our responsibility to do that. It is our responsibility, and I believe we built for Mozilla a reputation of releasing access to those beta features really, really fast. And the more you build a reputation, the more expectation you also create. So we are every year trying to be faster than the previous year, and it's a lot of work, but yeah, we love it.
Well, the challenge too is, like, if from a customer side, you almost think, well, like, oh, there are new features coming that the vendor is going to build for me to make my subscription even more valuable. And most vendors are trying to do that, but they don't see the work that goes into just supporting the new things, like keeping at the base level. We do just the base level. What Apple does still takes a significant amount of work.
Oh, yeah.
And you really have to jam pack it into a short window here, because if there are major bugs, you know, the customers and the vendors have to get those filed. Yeah. Like now.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also, I don't know how clear is that, but we also don't, Apple normally don't release everything on day one. During the beta period, we have additional things coming. Of course, we get like a big patch initially, but we still have things there that we know will come that there is no documentation yet. So it's that we need to implement the first batch, do that as fast as we can, and then we need to keep monitoring because we have new things coming during the beta period, and we also want to have those implemented super fast. But yeah, it's our job, and I believe it's a characteristic of the Apple MDM providers. And your point is correct. Like, if you're in any other SaaS product, you can't. I don't recommend, but you could make the decision to say, "Hey, I don't want to have anything new this year," right? Like with Apple MDM, you can't. Like, there are new things coming. And even if you don't create anything new yourself, there's enough coming from the Apple OS evolution, what is phenomenal for customers. And to be honest, one of the reasons why Apple devices are much, much better than any other device for education enterprise. But there's always new things coming. And this year was not short on the number of things.
No, I agree with that. I've actually spent the last few weeks, I had probably 10 PCs to deploy. And obviously, like,
I'm sorry for that.
I know. Well, and I recognize, like, my infrastructure is set up for Apple. So, like, yeah. I have things. Like, I actually just rebuilt some of the processes that my users go through when they're setting up their computers and really try to simplify it down. And so everything's built around that. So I've built a lot of my automations around that.
Yeah.
But just deploying, like, 10 PCs, how unbelievably frustrating it can be compared to what Apple's built. I don't know. There's still a lot of legacy stuff in Windows that it's like, really, that's still a thing. Like, we're still doing that. And so it's just my infrastructure is built around it. And I think Apple, again, I think it's the best, maybe the only easier tool to deploy might be Chromebooks, because there's really almost
but there's not much, right? Like, you're basically deploying a browser. So
right, you're basically, all you have to do is, deploy, you can roll it in management. That's really all there is to do it. So no, Apple's just still killing it here. I think the first takeaway for me, and this should be no surprise to anybody, is legacy MDM is dead. Everything is declarative, and we've known that's coming, and you're any decent vendor has been building for that for years now, and you saw the writing on the wall, and Apple just found, and this is, I think this is what Apple, one of the things that makes them great in the enterprise is they will cut stuff off.
Yeah, I agree. And it's our job to keep adapting to that. And with DDM this year, it became official. So now we can use any non-supported profile on DDM that was not migrated yet. But we can use DDM to push those. So basically everything can be DDM now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is one of those, for me, iterative improvements. And again, your vendors that have transitioned slowly and have, when something new is available, we build for it. It really shouldn't feel differently. But it's one of those things. Apple is willing to migrate hard things. And I think back to the security endpoint framework, like, they're willing to do the hard things that might take years to roll out, and really sells. I mean, they're not selling any additional Macs because of DDM. Any MDM vendor is not selling any additional licenses, but it's just about, like, what do we have to build to eliminate some technical debt? And that's what they've done. And it's hard for everybody, but ultimately you don't, like, so when I talk about, like, oh, it's so much easier to deploy Macs today than PCs, it's doing these kinds of things is what lends you to there. I'm a big fan. Everything's working great. I think DDM's been bubbling amongst the scenes for years. I think the thing I'm somewhat most excited about is the control for unified privacy consent props. Because I do think there's some challenges there. And these are all good things. These are all good things for users to understand what can access what. But if we can streamline that on the IT side, I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, and I believe the challenge when we talk about privacy is to find that line where we have the perfect balance between the automation that IT wants with respecting the end user privacy, right? So we need to solve both problems in the maximal level possible. So I don't know if we like the idea, or if it would be great, the idea where IT could remotely give full camera access to any tool. So then, like, any tool could start recording without the consent. Like, it's scary to me, and it's really not the way Apple sees. And I love the way Apple takes care of the end user privacy. On the other side, we want IT to be able to tell the users what that application needs and what must be enabled for that application to work properly. And we want to do that in the best way. So I really like the managed private consent for apps now, and also the managed private consent for Safari websites too, where you have, in my opinion, the perfect balance. You are telling the users what they need to enable. You are giving them a one-click action to enable everything that's needed, but they are aware of what kind of access that app or that website may have. And they may have the decision not to do that right now. So in my opinion, that solves both worlds, and also gives IT an option to explain why. What adds context to that, and not only context, it also creates a sense of compliance. And I do have this issue here most in some moments. Like, you just install an app, you see that app pop up asking for a specific access, and the user, like, I don't know if I should give access to that or not. And it's because it's just like a default pop-up, a default message there, with no additional information. The user has no idea to know that that was actually triggered by IT. So when you give the option to add the context, employees know like, okay, great, that came from the company. So yes, I should do it. They're asking me to do it. I should do it.
Well, and that builds trust. And I think, you know, and I was thinking of even some of those challenges. I mean, you've seen that in the past a little bit. I don't see this as much today about malware getting your device involved and sort of some of the rogue device management or getting profiles installed. And again, so you think if like IT could force make the camera available to this app, you can see where that creates challenges down the line. And again, it would make it easier for IT, but it, I think, by still having these ultimate consents on some of these things, it does almost protect against malware as well. And so it's a balance. It's a balance. I think Apple's doing a nice job here.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's talk about managed app subscriptions. This is something, you know, again, I've talked, Jeremy Butcher from Apple and I have talked for a better part of a decade about volume purchase program and in-app purchases. And this is, you know, obvious, and in-app purchases have kind of, they're different today. More things are subscription-based. And then most of the time, if there's something that, you know, a series of unlocks, companies will release like a business or education edition separately that can be, you know, purchased. Obviously, this is, you know, I think aimed at the creative bundle with, you know, includes a lot of Apple's creative apps. But then this also, I think for like smaller SaaS vendors, I think this could be good. Procurement is always a challenge. And if you can just bundle this through your existing app infrastructure to buy things and deploy them, I think that's a win.
Yeah, I believe that's actually a gap that existed there. Like VPP was created initially. And if you go back to the initial days of App Store, the majority of the apps you had to buy. And I believe the base of VPP were created at that time. And there was a crazy evolution with the subscription. And if I'm not wrong, I don't have the number, but probably like the great majority of the apps now that are monetizing on App Store, they're using subscription and not selling like a lifetime license for that version of the app or for that app. So it was a gap. And of course, that was creating some challenges for companies. And we had questions about that during the past years, customers asking, hey, how do I do that? So it's great that it's now available and it's solving that problem. And yes, it will help everyone. It will help companies and in schools. They'll have a way to buy those subscriptions and without creating different relationships, right, with different companies. Even if they could go and buy from the provider, now like they had to manage a different relationship, have a different agreement here, like it's one single place. So it's much, much easier for them to control. And it'd be great for providers too, that they have a very, very easy way to distribute like volume license of subscriptions for those corporate and education customers.
Yeah, procurement's hard. It's complicated. And if you're a large organization, like there's a reason people buy a lot of things through channel partners because and companies will often sell through channel partners, even if they have a direct relationship with the customer, the paper, just managing the paper of the contract can be a challenge. And so just as some streamline here, again, it's a nice low hanging fruit that, again, maybe not what I wanted. Like what I wanted was in-app purchases here. But the world has changed where, you know, SaaS is more of the, you know, more of the thing. So anyway, so we've also got some return to service improvements here, which I think this is one of those, again, these are things that companies maybe don't see every day, but especially for remote organizations, you've just got some streamlining here that, you know, I'm glad that customers have some improvements here.
Yeah, totally agree.
Another thing that I think is, again, aimed at remote orgs is enhanced Apple Care logging. Being able to, you know, initiate enhanced logging, typically this required you to have physical access to the device previously. Now you can do it remote. And I think when you're trying to work with Apple, you know, we have hardware failures, we have issues. Being able to initiate this remotely, also just, again, just a nice quality of life. It's just easier to get the data without having to get the end user and, you know, heavily involved.
Yeah, this is a very interesting one because if you don't have Apple Care enterprise support, you probably don't understand how painful it is to get logs. If you have it, like this is amazing. So you just get the code, the token there from your case. We push it, the logs will get there. it was so complicated. And like we were talking about large files, you had to upload that to some cloud file storage system. Now it's just there. So it's like magic. So I love it. For us, it'll be much, much easier. We do work in conjunction with AppleCare support all the time, helping common customers. So we are part of that challenge of collecting the logs and like having this tool now. It's amazing. It's really, really, really good for us work on the day-to-day and on supporting those customers and also for the customers being supported by us and AppleCare.
Some enhancements to guest mode on macOS 27. It can now auth against File Vault. Again, nothing that is going to affect every organization, but depending on what kind of environment you're in, this allows you to have managed guest sessions without having to not have File Vault. And mm-hmm. So just again, you know, nice win here.
It's nice when you don't need to compromise security for convenience. And I believe that's another one that's solving. And just to get a ride there, the authenticated guest mode for iPad is also a new thing. And I really like that too.
Trying to look at my list that I had written, obviously some additional, and again, I'd look at this year as like a lot of refinement. So like refining and improving things from previous years. I've lost my notes on single sign-on enhancements for the Mac. Do you have that? I'll look that up if we don't have it. I lost my notes here.
Yeah. I believe platform single sign-on, and just trying to give a context here, it came years ago, and we are seeing a lot of improvements with every new OS. If you go back, we talk about improvements on platform single sign-on probably every year since they launch it, and this year is not different. And you can really see they are making the right decisions about where to put the time and development. So this year, one of the things is it's adding a web-based authentication. So basically a secure web view that will appear at that time and that will allow IDP providers to have their own flow there. So basically it's similar to what we do today, for example, with Mozilla Alf, where we bring Google authentication screen to the Mac. Now they'll be native, and that will create a lot of convenience because those providers can actually use the current flow they have. So that'll be much, much easier for more IDP providers to support it. So huge win. The other one is being able to enable camera at that moment, the authentication moment, and use a QR code to sign in. This is gigantic for shared device and is gigantic for schools. So really, really, really good addition to adds a lot of convenience. Another good one there is enforcing Touch ID. We know that Touch ID as a stronger form of authentication. It is important in several organizations, is important for compliance, and is also a strong convenience item for the end user. So having that being forced at the login moment, it's also great. And then the other big one I would say is what you already mentioned, the authenticated guest mode with File Vault. That is gigantic too. So yeah. Great list of improvements for a platform single sign-on. And yeah, for us it's interesting because we have been trying to solve that problem. We have another provider trying to do that for a long time now when we create Mozilla Alf, and it has always been a big need for customers. And at that time, there was no way to solve that through regular macOS tools. So we had to put a lot of different things together and to come to this concept. And it's nice that it's now becoming standard for the OS. So we kind of feel good. It's nice to see something that we're trying to make work. And I believe we did a good job making a first version work, now becoming like a standard part of the OS. And yeah, now we need to keep having good ideas and be ahead of the need.
And I'll have a link in the show notes that I have finally found my notes. That was the big one I was missing, was the Touch ID require for platform SSL. You can also use Apple Watch as well. And so, if you know, obviously, if you're wearing Apple Watch, it's even more convenient than Touch ID. You'll be able to set it, like if Touch ID isn't available, the organization can allow a web-based authentication as a fallback. And again, like you mentioned, the QR code, a good example is company in education, is company Clever. Yeah. They do a really nice job of basically making...
Link, yeah.
yeah, making it easy to log in there. And again, either you know, shared devices or whatnot. It's just a really, you know, it's obviously leads some challenges if you drop your QR code. You're it's like dropping your password, but it's better than having just extremely weak passwords if you've got an environment where your students, yeah, they don't have password managers, et cetera. Again, these are all things that are not going to affect 100% of orgs, but you're seeing a lot of things that are like, okay, this affects 10%, this affects 10%, this affects 10%. And so it's all good wins. It makes it easier. It's I look at all these things around platform SSO about making it easier and more reliable to integrate into your existing systems.
And more secure, right?
Yes, and more secure. So you just got to, you know, you make it more reliable and make it easier to deploy. Then it's also kind of eliminates the need to, say, do local logins, which are not as secure. And then you've just got one identity system to manage as well. Now, you know, for like, you know, a customer uses Mosul Auth too, if you're able to share, like, will they need to do anything? You know, will you all have a new login screen or can you even share?
No, it's a different solution. So, and for full transparency, I believe on the long term, platform signals are no main replace Mosul Auth. What we knew when we are okay, I believe Mosul Auth solved a big need for a long period of time, and still now we support providers that are not ready for platform single sign-on. So the beauty on our side is that we can do the entire job. We don't need the IDP to come and do anything. So for example, today, if you want to authenticate on your Mac with Google, you don't have a way to do it through platform single sign-on yet. I'm sure you'll come at some time. But I believe if we look at the future here, it's a natural replacement for solutions like Mosul Auth or other solutions provided by our competitors. What is okay? I believe that, like, I don't feel bad about it. I feel actually proud. Like we came up with a solution for a strong need. We made it work. We proved a lot of concepts. We proved what customers were trying to do, which we can show with the adoption of our tools to Apple how important it is for that problem to be solved, and then it's natural that at some time it will become part of the OS, and we are proud of being able to influence that somehow. And as I said, our job now is always to be ahead of that. So let's always keep looking for the next problem that needs a solution. Let's solve that, and I believe that's how this will works. Like we need to be ahead of the problems and be the one creating like solutions and expect that at some time they will become part of the OS.
Well, I look at it as if your customers have a problem and you can solve it in a way that Apple doesn't have a solution for, you go build it. And if Apple eventually builds that solution, I think that is indicative of Apple recognizing that, oh, that's actually solved a massive problem. Yeah. And even if a company never adopts Apple's solution directly, maybe they do things that customers want in a certain way. I think it just validates that, you know, this is, you know, logging in with your IDP, whether that be something custom or something in platform single sign-on, becomes kind of the default for macOS deployments.
And that has been a common, like, I see this is the way it works. So another example, and we had like several, but 2016, we already had a tool for shared iPads because the schools were asking for shared iPads. And it was actually before 16 or about 14, we launched the first version. And then after some time, it becomes standard, right? So like, I believe that's the natural progression. We can come up with a concept that we can implement using the tools we have. And then we are always happy to see those tools becoming part of the OS. And then we go to the next problem.
And ultimately it's good for the customers that the problems are solved, whether it's like Apple's quote unquote blessed solution or a company had to build on top of the existing infrastructure. So absolutely. Wrapping up here, again, we got a lot of great stuff here. What if you had to say your favorite feature, like put your IT hat on, what's your favorite new feature for IT this year?
Okay, if I was an IT guy, and I believe the binary execution control is really nice. I believe that will give, it's bringing more and more security to MDM. It's a nice movement. Like, this definitely a security feature. It, leveraging somehow the zero trust concept. It's another one where we are proud to have initiated. We have our automated zero trust that actually goes way beyond what this package, the binary authorization can do. But it's great to see Apple customers having a native way to implement like a basic, more standard but very effective zero trust solution on their Macs. So basically, they have a nice way to enforce only the binaries they wanted to execute, and they can also create some automation. So because this tool allows customers to automatically approve or allow list or every solution installed through the MDM, you kind of make that dynamic in somehow, right? So hey, if I'm a company, I'm distributing all the apps that I believe employees need to have, there is a self-service portal there. And that's it. If that's it, I enable this tool. I set that to allow only the apps distributed by MDM. I will distribute apps normally, and I can go and rest knowing that no other binary will be executing that. So that is like a gigantic level of protection against malware. I don't know if people are giving the right credit to that, but that's gigantic. And a smaller one, I know it may not be big, we did not talk about that here, but the ability to uninstall packages that you installed, it's great. It is a pain to be able to uninstall. I believe each package has a different way and create different components on the device, and Apple is starting to address that problem is great. Like, we want to install things. That's one of the main things MDMs do. But we also wanted to uninstall some of the stuff we installed before, so having tools now to help us if that is nice.
Well, what you don't want to be in a situation, and I saw like a tweet thread about this, it was like IT bloat, where you end up having, like, let's say you're using one tool for something, and okay, 18 months later you deploy a new tool, and then a year or two later you deploy yet another tool. It's very possible the employees have three tools still on their computer and they've never gotten removed. And I think that's you know, perfect example. My favorite, and this is going to be a small one, the death of the legacy software update control. Again, it goes back to everything is in DDM now, but I think the legacy software update
was just kind of materialized that some years ago when I saw that come and when they said they were deprecating it. I was like, thanks God. Like, that was a nightmare. You know that, Bradley. Like, that was very difficult before. And it's so much better now. So I agree with you.
I think the challenge for IT, like, obviously I'm into solving problems and I just want software update to work and be able to work like I want it. But I think the challenge on the vendor side is you had challenges with the legacy command that were not your fault, but they became your problem. Because when it doesn't work, the customers reach out to you directly. And I think that's the challenge here. So,
it's always our fault, right? Like, hey, why are you not updating my device?
And even if it's a specific Apple bug, it's like, you're like, okay, I've got an issue with the vendor right now. And they told me, like, yeah, this is actually a bug in all known versions of the latest versions of all of Apple's operating systems. Well, it's one of those, like, it's an Apple bug and I get it. And they're talking to Apple about it and it's not their fault, but it is their problem. And I think that's the challenge. So yeah, it's a small win for me. Software update being the, we're in a happy state with software update. Everything is in DDM. But Alcir, thanks for taking the time to chat with me. I'll let you get back to work. I know you guys are busy at Mosul, getting ready for this fall. Again, I reiterate this. If you're listening to this, be testing something, testing your workflows, testing your onboarding, testing your device removal. If you see bugs, this is the time to file them and they can be fixed. But Alcir, thanks for taking the time to chat, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
Thank you so much again, Bradley.